Here he is, the One Nation leader in New South Wales, Mark Latham, the Honourable Mark Latham. Good afternoon.
G'day, Ben. Good to be talking to you.
You heard us talking about land clearing laws earlier in the show. This is something that I'm now contacting the New South Wales government about. We've had farmers calling us off air, and look, they don't want to come on the radio because they're worried about the repercussions, but you've got these people who are already in the middle of drought around Walgett and Narrabri and Moree being handed $500,000 fines from the Office of Environment and Heritage because they've cleared their own land. I mean, these are people who care more about their own land than anyone else because it's their own land. But the rules state that the Office of Environment and Heritage declares that for every hectare of land that you clear, you can't touch 4 hectares of your own land forever, for the rest of time. And now, because some of them have been spied on and they've done their own thing with their own land, they're handed fines of $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I'm glad you're raising the issue on their behalf, Ben. I've spoken to many of these farmers and also their legal representative, and what's going on here is a massive swindle. When you hear the federal government say we're meeting our Kyoto targets, it's happening because of these land clearing restrictions in large parts of rural New South Wales. This is apparently adding to Australia's contribution to emission targets set by Kyoto and other parts of the United Nations. Now, the federal government has got the state government doing its dirty work, because if the federal government itself put the land clearing restrictions in place under the Australian Constitution, they'd have to pay fair compensation. Because the real swindle here, the impact on the farmers, is that they've got 90% of their farmland locked up by the state government, but they don't get any compensation for that. And there's no state government provision for the payment of compensation. So the state governments are doing the dirty Kyoto work at the federal government. The farmers are being ripped off. And in truth, none of these farmers should have more than 20% of their land locked up. There should be fairness for these farmers. And any infringement on their property and their property rights, there should be due compensation. I raised this during the state election campaign. I spoke to Alan Jones about it, and my message today is the same as then. Gladys Berejiklian, call off the dogs. Call off this legal action, because these farmers are doing it tough in the drought, and if there was any compassion, these massive legal costs wouldn't be inflicted upon them. And if you touch their land, you should pay compensation.
Well, there are some of them who are not being sued because they shot themselves and killed themselves as a result of the drought. And now you've got others who survived all of that. They're still dealing with the drought, and now they're dealing with this. And as I'm talking to you, I'm now getting a message from the Minister, Matt Keane. He says, I'm happy to come on. I'm just in a briefing. So I'll hopefully speak to him tomorrow.
I'm sure he's a new minister. He'll treat this fairly. But Matt Keane, the problem he's got is that this Office of Environment and Heritage, they're like a Gestapo squad out there roughing up these farmers and treating them terribly. Matt Keane and Gladys Berejiklian have had this magnificent election victory in New South Wales. It really is time to call off the dogs, fair play, and get some decent land clearing laws in place. If you touch their land, you should pay compensation.
Well said. Hopefully we'll speak to Matt Keane tomorrow or Thursday. If not, the Premier will be on Friday. What about Saturday night? Scott Morrison, the Messiah from the Shire.
Well, what a victory. What a surprise to the elites, the pollsters, the political class, the pundits, all except Alan Jones, the great Alan Jones, stood his ground and backed his political instincts. He's been around a long while, and that paid dividends for him. And, you know, quite frankly, Ben, I've got to say it was a refreshing result, because the Australian people worked out that the Labor Party economic plan was as dangerous and as risky to our economy as any we've seen in our lifetime. And the other really refreshing thing was that working communities, mining and manufacturing areas in central and northern Queensland, and also the Hunter Valley here in New South Wales, they worked out, the penny dropped, that when the left talk about the transition to a clean energy economy, they're actually talking about throwing all those workers and all those communities on the welfare scrap heap. And they said, particularly in electorates like Joel Fitzgibbon's Hunter seat, we're not copping it anymore. We're not copping your lousy, fake green ideology at our expense, sitting there in your Volvos and your rich houses and your nice suburbs in leafy parts of Sydney, expecting us to lose our jobs because of climate change action. They said, we're not going to put up with that. And they voted in droves against the Labor Party and the Greens.
It's going to be interesting as far as this challenge goes for the next Labor leader. We spoke to Joel Fitzgibbon yesterday. He was making some noises, I think, just to get the voices of the bush heard. Tanya Plibersek said it's not her time. Chris Bowen and Anthony Albanese have both put up their hand. I mean, come on, it's Albo, isn't it?
Well, anyone's better than Bowen. I mean, what planet is Chris Bowen living on? He's devised a $400 billion tax increase plan that cost Labor the unlosable election. It was a disastrous economic policy. It had nothing going for it. It was unnecessary. It was indulgent. It was radical left-wing income redistribution. Now, Albo might believe in some of that stuff, but his saving grace is at least he wasn't front and centre to this policy schmozzle. Now, Albo has got the difficulty. If he tries to put policies out to win a Western Sydney seat like Lindsay based at Penrith, he'd probably lose his inner city seat, all those lefties, all those greenies in Graindler. So he's got a problem there, how he can appeal to suburban and regional electorates. But surely Labor couldn't go down the path of Chris Bowen. The bloke who burnt down their house has now turned up with a fire hose.
What about all the sore losers following the election on Saturday? There's a radio and TV host, Michelle Laurie, who wrote, "Australians are dumb, mean-spirited and greedy." Kathy Wilcox, the cartoonist, said, "It seems unfair that the morons outnumber the thinking people at election time." Commentator and writer Jane Caro says, "I wish I was a New Zealander." She described those who didn't vote the way she wanted as turds. I'll tell you what, there's some sore losers, many of them threatening to move to New Zealand, Mark.
Well, we'd happily fund that and happily drive them to the airport. But, Ben, you know, they've outed themselves. They're out of the closet because at their heart, a lot of these people just don't like Australia. They don't like Australia. They talk about tolerance and diversity, but the only thing they tolerate is an Australia that looks like them, talks like them, thinks like them. And they don't respect the democratic verdict. And the other thing about this cohort of whingers and Australia haters, Ben, is they all find a platform on the ABC. You know, the publicly funded broadcaster gives a platform to these people to pour their bile out against Australia, and that in itself is wrong. So, you know, Scott Morrison, hopefully he looked at the amazing bias against the Coalition and One Nation and non-Labor, non-Green parties during the election campaign, and not only cleans out these Australia haters, but cleans out their platform, funded by all of us at the ABC.
Apparently Jane Caro has since said that she was drinking on Saturday night and therefore she didn't mean everything that she wrote. But it's just amazing that people would blame the voters when the election doesn't go their way.
Well, and blame the bottle. Come on, surely she's responsible for what she says. You've got an opinion on everything. Mm. If it all comes out the bottom of a wine bottle, I suppose that tells us something, but it's no excuse.
It was a massive victory for Scott Morrison. It's going to be interesting what happens going forward. It's really going to be a long period of rebuilding for the Labor Party, won't it?
Well, Ben, you know, we haven't got enough time to talk about all their policy culture problems, but their attitude on economic policy, on energy policy, on political correctness, on sneering at working people, I mean, they've got it all wrong. They made a radical left turn about 10 years ago under Gillard and they haven't recovered. They thought the chaos and the leadership changes of the Liberal Party would see them through an election victory. The Australian people say, well, you're not really happy about the revolving door at the lodge, but we're not going to put up with these ridiculous left-wing energy and economic policies. So Labor's got some real thinking to do about the nature of its policy culture, because I can guarantee you, your average working Australian looks at Labor now and thinks, what the hell's gone on there? They used to be a party of the worker. Now they're off there with the inner city left-wing elites.
Great to catch up. We'll hear you with Alan in the morning.
Thanks, Ben. A pleasure.
Mark Latham, the One Nation leader in New South Wales.